This is the All Things Bama Podcast, powered by the Bama Central Broadcast Network.
Welcome in to the All Things Bama Podcast. I am your host, Mason Woods, and as always, I'm joined here by my good friend, Joe Gaither. Before we get into things, I want to make sure to remind you all to go follow both Joe and myself on Twitter at JoeGaither6 and at MAWoods_. And go ahead, if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and rate us 5 stars on whatever platform you get your podcast from. We got a fun show today. Going to get into the NCAA tournament as it is finally upon us. We're going to take a look at the first round thus far and then maybe take a look at what Alabama's path looks like from here moving forward. They got the game against Robert Morris today. We will talk about that a little bit, maybe look at what their potential second, third, and so on matchups will be if that presents itself. We're also going to get into Alabama baseball's very impressive win over Tennessee yesterday. You take the first game in the series against what has been the best team in college baseball up to this point of the season, basically. So we will see. You know, we'll talk about what that means for Alabama, where they will maybe find themselves this week, and when the new rankings come out on Monday. Going to talk about a little bit of recruiting news to send you into your weekend. Alabama hosted some talented players this week. Got the chance to talk with a couple of them, so I will give some updates there. But the first thing we got to do, Joe, doing all right today?
Oh, great. Doing great and enjoying the week. Excited about the NCAA tournament. It's a busy week, Mason. We did Alabama Pro Day, men's baseball, women's softball, men's and women's NCAA tournament. I mean, it is just all the football team got back in action for spring practice. Like, it's busy. Great to be here.
Good to see you. A lot of good stuff happening this week. We can maybe get into Pro Day a little bit as well. You know, I know Joe had the chance to go see it in person this week, so maybe we can talk about a little bit of what was put on display there. But you mentioned it there, the biggest thing of the week, the NCAA tournament, the biggest, you know, this is maybe the busiest week of the sports like calendar almost with this many basketball games going on. I was from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. yesterday, I mean, watching basketball. It was fantastic.
How did your wife take that?
She didn't love it, you know.
Did you tell her that's happening for the next 3 days?
No, but, you know. She got home from work yesterday and was like, "Oh, how was work? Oh, it was okay. It wasn't great." I was like, "Oh, that sucks." You know, she just casually didn't say anything that I did, and then you know the question presented itself. How was your day? Oh, well, I didn't do much. You know, got a few things done in the morning, then watched basketball from 11 a.m. until the time you got home, and you know that was met with she wasn't angry, but jealous, I'll say.
Of course.
You're looking forward to doing that again today. You know, we got to get out of here in about an hour to watch those games that will tip off.
Oh, such a strenuous life we have. Such a strenuous job.
Going to be tough. Oh, but yesterday, biggest surprises of the day. First off, is Creighton, are they a contender? Because the Blue Jays, I mean, took it to Louisville yesterday. Now, maybe I was just wrong about how good the Louisville Cardinals were. But I don't know, this Creighton team looked really, really good on in Thursday's game.
They looked like much better, much more efficient than the team that came into Tuscaloosa in December. And they looked like the Creighton team that we all thought we were going to see in Tuscaloosa in December. In my opinion, they looked extremely, extremely efficient offensively and gritty defensively. I do think Louisville, some of their injuries were a little bit at play there, but Creighton, I mean, wrapping it up, looked very strong, and but watch out for them Blue Jays. Oh my! What does an Alabama basketball fan do with an Auburn versus Creighton matchup? Like that's like
I'll tell you my gut,
Freddie and Jason.
My gut tells me like. I mean, we're rocking Blue Jays till I die this week.
Really? Really? Even
that's just my like initial gut reaction. I just can't root for the Auburn Tigers to win.
Even over Creighton after they screwed our man Trevor Rutherford.
That'd be okay.
Okay. All right. I mean, granted, what would you rather live with? You'd rather live with a Creighton national title or an Auburn national title? I think that's pretty easy for you and I sitting here in Tuscaloosa. We, you know, those folks in Nebraska can celebrate their national title, I guess.
Yeah, you talked about Creighton being so efficient yesterday. Their offense was they finished the game. Yeah, they finished the game almost 46% from three, almost 60% from the field.
Now that is nuts.
Yeah, they did not shoot free throws very well, so that could be their undoing here as they get deeper into the tournament against a more talented team like an Auburn. You know, they only shot 66.7% from the line in against Louisville there. But, I mean, you know, the usual suspects, Ryan Kalkbrenner, he was 6-for-8 from the field, only, you know, got himself 14 points. Jemiah Neal got himself 29 points, 11-for-16 from the field. You know, was not doing most of his damage at the line, was actually getting good shots and putting up good shots and making contested shots. So, just a really, really good performance for Creighton. Do I necessarily think that they are an actual contender to go win a national title this year? No. But, man, they looked the part. And if they beat Auburn, I will very quickly view them as a contender kind of team. So, Auburn's going to have their work cut out for them. That does, that takes me perfectly into the...
Well, are you excited for Ryan Kalkbrenner versus Jani Broome? That
will be very interesting.
Can we just take the other eight players off
just
the floor?
One-on-one.
Just let them go up and down?
That'd be nice. That will be a good matchup. I hadn't considered that yet. That is a good matchup. I do want to talk about the Auburn game a little bit. You know, Alabama State hung with them for the first half. That's, you know, good on you, Alabama State. You didn't go out there and lay an egg. You proved that you at least belonged to be there for a bit. I really thought for a little bit there, like, oh, my God, is this? Because Auburn, you won the game by 20, but it was not an overly impressive performance for Auburn. You turned the ball over a lot. You didn't shoot that well. Miles Kelly,
that's his name. Miles Kelly. Yeah, he was the one Denver Jones and Miles Kelly.
Miles Kelly was the one I think that hit right off the bat like four threes to open the game, and he was the only guy that was the shots were falling consistently for him. Jani Broome was not playing overly well in the first half to start. You know, he finished strong, but again, I just was not to be the number one overall seed in the tournament. That was not really the performance of a number one overall seed.
Yeah, and Dylan Cardwell apparently in the locker room, and those folks saying we're not playing up to our national championship standard, guys. We got to pull it together.
Good on you. They did. I mean, pull it together, I think, is a bit relative because yes, you did win by 20. So like we have to say that that is an objective thing that happened in this game. But still, even though you won the second half, you still weren't like overly dominant at any point. You kind of let Alabama State do a lot of things where this felt like a game that should have been an even larger margin than just 20 points for Auburn. You know, there should have never been a point in this game where Alabama State was hanging with them. Cause I even think, they brought it within 1 point. I think it went with like 6 minutes left in the first half, something like that, maybe even less time than that. So I was not super impressed with Auburn. You know, they didn't look like a championship contender. I had picked Louisville to beat them in the second round. It maybe now will be Creighton, but we'll see. I think that's going to be a very hard game for Auburn.
I think it will be as well.
A tough draw for the number one overall seed there. Next game. What else really? I put my faith in the wrong SEC teams.
Yes.
I don't know what it was about them. I didn't have any faith in Missouri or any faith in Texas A&M, and they go out and beat Yale, who many people, not just me and Joe, thought this is like a good upset. Yale's definitely going to win this game. Texas A&M plays so slow; they're not that great. Yale is a good team. They beat Auburn last year. No, not the case. Texas A&M wins. Arkansas takes down Kansas, another one I did not anticipate. I rode with the Rock Chalk Jayhawk, rode with Bill Self, rode with Ryland Griffin. And they all let me down.
If Ryland Griffin jumps in the transfer portal, do you want him back?
No.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Ryan.
Oh yeah, buddy. I hate that this year went the way it did for you. Maybe you shouldn't have left, though. You know, you've burnt this bridge already at this point. You don't get to just come back. Now, if he goes, if he does into the transfer portal and winds up somewhere else, great. More power to him. I still think he's a good player, but at this point, I would not want him back on Alabama's roster because I think, you have pivoted away from him, and bringing him back is just going to junk everything up. We've talked about this with like the quarterbacks, potentially having a weird issue where you're going to get junked up with Ty, Mac, Keelon. That would kind of be a similar thing where you just bring another veteran guy in when you have a good kind of lineage already set in place. That game, Arkansas looked pretty good. I should have listened to my gut there. I had Arkansas originally and then went off of them, thought about it longer, and was like, you know, we talked about that 2015 Kentucky team on your show just a little bit ago, and like that was really the thing I kept going back to. Just like, yeah, Cal is not a good coach. How did he not win a title with that team? No, he looked pretty good. They looked pretty good last night. Kansas turned the ball over. I don't even know how many times. It felt like every possession, it was just an errant dribble, an errant pass, going off your foot, dribbling off your knee, passing it off your buddy's elbow. Like, it was just, Kansas looked completely dysfunctional. Next game we've already talked about this.
It's all good. We can go back through it. They're not listening to us on the Joe Gaither Show. They're listening to all things Bama.
St. John's was very good last night.
Oh, the Johnnies.
That game, the Red Storm, Rick Pitino, the Vampire. He said that he is retiring the white suit for this season. If they make a Final Four, you think he busts the white suit back out?
No, I think he's serious.
He's got to. Oh, the white suit and the... Oh, on a Monday night, white suit, Rick Pitino? That would be great. But yeah, no, maybe he is. But St. John's looked good. They dominated Omaha last night. Omaha got off to a hot start, got up by 10, I think, right in the first opening minutes. But you could tell, kind of, once St. John's flipped that switch, they didn't really look back. They started hitting shots. Took a lot of threes. Took like 36 threes in that game, I think. Shot a pretty good clip. Shot almost 38%, I think, from beyond the arc. Just a really, really good performance. I was not necessarily buying them as championship contenders, but I am buying them as championship contenders after last night a little bit more.
Yeah, I had Florida winning the bracket most of the week. On Thursday, I might have changed my Elite Eight pick and putting St. John's over Florida in that game.
Yeah, they play a very, very aggressive brand of defense. They are flying all over the place. They are... going to meet everybody. It's, you never get an open shot against St. John's. Like, it's they. Oh man, really good, well coached team. Good on you, Rick Pitino. You you bounced back. Bama will face the winner of BYU and Wisconsin. That was decided. Both of those teams winning yesterday. Wisconsin taking down Montana. BYU taking down VCU. Both of those teams scare me. Playing Alabama, I think they're both good. Wisconsin, BYU, both can make a lot of threes. They both can score pretty well. Now they don't have I thought I had it written down. Yeah, BYU 183rd in tempo, Wisconsin 149th in tempo, but both of them top 25 Wisconsin top 25 in both offense and defense, and BYU a top 10 offense, a top 100 defense. So both good teams, both going to pose problems for Alabama. I don't know. Their performance against Robert Morris today will tell me a lot about, you know, how to think that they will play against this BYU or...
Right, because wasn't last week's performance so good on one day and kind of quit the next? So it's like, what are we going to see?
Yeah, you just don't know. I don't know if they just got to the point where it was like, all right, guys, we're down by 10 against Florida, we're down by 12, whatever it was. Let's just throw in the towel here and get to the tournament. Not really... no sense, you know, going super hard for a game that we might not even win anyway. I don't know. I don't think that's the case. I think they just kind of didn't show up for that Florida game. But I don't know. I don't love these matchups. It worries me that this is maybe a spot Alabama loses in this tournament. And for this team to be as good as it is, that would be very disappointing.
To lose in the first game?
No, the second against this BYU or Wisconsin.
Well, the second round would be against St. Mary's and St. Mary's, yes. Vandy. But you get to the Sweet 16 and lost to BYU Wisconsin. I agree. Sweet that's 16. That's another disappointment.
Yeah, Sweet 16 is a disappointment.
That would be a huge disappointment.
No, it's Final Four or bust. Like, you got there last year. You have upgraded everywhere across the board. You are better defensively than you were last year. That would be a disappointing season. Looking at today's game though, saw this from Will Miller, our friend Will Miller on Bama Central Alabama Crimson Tide on SI, did have his practice notes yesterday. Grant Nelson reportedly moving around well, wearing a knee brace, not showing any signs of being slowed down. Now it was a shoot around, right. So
we're just on the court, heaving up some shots, bro.
Yeah, he wasn't. It's not like they were, you know, running the three man weave or anything out there. They were just kind of just standing around. Clifford Amore got him some shots over in the corner. Don't think that's going to be anything to look out for in the game. I think he will do his typical thing and just hang out right there in the paint like he does. Nate Oates called Grant Nelson a game time decision. Darian Reed supposedly good to go. I would like to see neither of them playing in this game today. I don't think you need either of them to play in this game today. And it just feels like it would be a waste to throw, you know, just definitely Grant Nelson out there if he is battling anything, but either of them, and just have them, you know, run the risk of getting hurt worse. I think you should be able to beat Robert Morris pretty handily without either of them out there. And I don't want to disrespect the Colonials, but they've not been an overly impressive team this season.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Oh, man. Bama, let's see. What else did I have written down here? I did want to look at the potential like path to a championship for Alabama, because like I said, you have a tough draw here, kind of. You know, you look at maybe a Sweet 16 matchup with BYU or Wisconsin, and then, you know, if you're able to get by that, you are then facing probably the winner of Duke, Arizona. So, like, I know I said Final Four or bust, but man, oh man, is it going to be hard for this team to get to a Final Four. I don't think that this team has what it takes to beat Duke. I've not seen it from them really this year. I think Duke, just about everything I've seen from Duke, they've been a better team than Alabama in just about every measure. Now, if Cooper Flagg is not able to be fully healthy and that affects things, we will see, but that doesn't bode well for Alabama.
Yeah, you know, if Cooper's healthy, if you don't have Darian Reed healthy to defend him, I guess you're asking Jaren Stevenson to do that. And I like Jaren, but I mean, Cooper Flagg is going to go number one.
Yeah.
Right.
He's number one draft pick.
I don't know that Darian has the, or excuse me, Jaren has the quickness. I mean, he's quick for a big man. I don't know if he has the quickness to stay with Cooper Flagg.
So it's gonna be tough for this team.
I think that Duke matchup would be
that Duke matchup would not be very fun. We will have to just see what happens. I think they'll win today, like we said. I think they'll probably win their second round game against St. Mary's or Vanderbilt. You know, we've seen them play Vanderbilt. We've seen them dominate Vanderbilt. But St. Mary's does not. You know, just a little bit of research I did on them. Again, kind of similar to Robert Morris. I don't really think they've played anybody overly impressive or beat anybody overly impressive this year. They've not done many things that lead me to believe they would give Alabama much of a threat. So I think Alabama should cruise past these first two rounds, but that's when it gets real, is in the Sweet 16. I do want to move Bama baseball, and I don't have a lot here because, you know, as many of you know, I am not a baseball person, but this team might just make me a baseball person. Alabama takes down the evil empire that is Tony Vitello and the Tennessee Volunteers on Thursday night. 6-5, I believe, was the final score. You got down in the 3-0 hole in the first few innings, and then I think Justin LeBron opened things up with a big RBI double to bring some guys in, get the scoring going for Alabama. Just, you know, like I said, I've not been super locked into this team. I haven't really been watching much of this team, but it seems like they are the real deal. I think this, you know, you beat up on Texas A&M last week or in your last SEC series to open the SEC play. And I think I saw that Texas A&M was a preseason number one team.
Yeah, they were top five for sure.
Yeah, preseason, you know, very, very highly rated preseason team. So just building this resume for this Alabama baseball team, beating up on what, you know, many people consider to be the best of the best in college baseball. When is Alabama going to be recognized as one of the best in college baseball? Maybe it's this week.
Yeah, I was paying attention from afar from this baseball team. Their non-conference schedule.
I didn't even know the game was happening.
Yeah, I was. You know, there were 16-1, I think, in non-conference play, and I thought, okay, that's nice, but I'm not quite ready to care. I'm not quite ready to be following all in on it just because of the non-conference action and knowing what the SEC schedule was going to have. You go out to Texas A&M and win three tough games. And then you come. I mean, I know you're playing them at home, Tennessee, and I think Tennessee lost a midweek last week.
They lost to East Tennessee, I think.
Yeah, so
brutal game.
Okay, maybe not as dominant, but still, I'm impressed. You go 4-0 through your first four SEC games. Whatever you're going to do tonight over the Joe, and then Saturday at 1. If you were able to take 2 out of 3 against Tennessee, you're able to start your SEC season 5-1. Rob Vaughn, thank you. Well done, sir. I mean, and the entire program, well done. I think that last night's win should really ensure that the fan base is really behind them. But you know, with it being the first round of the NCAA tournament, they're probably going to win another game this weekend.
Yeah,
get them another time.
I think they probably will, just to, you know, continue to get people locked in, continue to get people like myself locked in. But they might just get me up to the Joe for a game this year. You know, we just got done talking a few minutes ago about, like, when the Joe is packed, it is a great environment to watch a baseball game at. If you've never been to it when it is rocking, I had the chance to go to a couple games while I was a student, you know, and they were, like, really, you know, not packed out entirely, but relatively good crowds, and even those were extremely fun. So get out there and, you know, support this baseball team. Like we said, they play today again at 6? Yeah, play today at 6. Tennessee looking for to secure the series win, but looking to go up 2-0 in the series. You know, we want to get 3-0, but looking to secure the series win with a second win. And then who do they have next after that? You got a little bit of a break until Tuesday. You'll take on North Alabama, and then it's back at home with another SEC series against Oklahoma. So really good things for this baseball team. Again, like we said, get out to the Joe. Tickets are cheap. Tickets are easy to come by. Not for this game, mind you, but for the rest of the season, you should be able to get into a lot of games if you want to go. So take your family out. Have a nice day at a beautiful baseball park. Oh, I want to close it down a little bit today with just a bit of recruiting talk, because that's really all I've got for you. We will run through the schedule we've got for today as well at the end for Alabama baseball, for Alabama women's basketball this weekend. I think softball also has a game this weekend, so we'll get through that at the end. But before we do, I had the chance to talk this week with a couple Alabama targets, both of which are...
Nice. How'd that go?
It went pretty well. I mean, you know, didn't give me a whole lot. It's, you know... You kind of just take what you can get when you're communicating with like 15 to 17 year olds, because you know how kids are. They just not the most reliable people. But hey, I'm very appreciative to 2028 athlete Braylon Bedford getting back to me, as well as 2026 linebacker Braden Rouse. Braden. That's a tough one. I kept like messaging them, and they were talking to me at the same time, and I was trying to like make sure I wasn't calling one the other one's name. It was good stuff. Braylon Bedford, we'll start with him. He was in town. I got a chance to talk with him briefly and gauge his reaction following the visit. You can read about it on Bama Central, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. You know, being a 2028 guy, I don't think much of his recruitment is super, super serious. Not a lot of concrete stuff going on for him. It's a lot of just kind of like, oh, hey, come get a feel. And that's kind of what he, you know, kind of the what he indicated to me was that it was more just for him to just really get a taste of what it looked like being in Tuscaloosa. He got to watch a little bit of practice, said he liked what they were doing, said he liked seeing how organized everything was, which, you know, this is something we know that Alabama does. It looks nice when you get to view a practice. But that guy, you know, like I said, 2028, but he is, I think he is being recruited as a cornerback, as a safety corner, you know, defensive back. But he is a very, very impressive two-way player. I mean, he's a freshman. He just had his freshman season. He is going into his sophomore season this year, this, you know, next year. And last year, 523 yards and 6 touchdowns as a receiver, 283 and 5 touchdowns on the ground, 273 yards and 2 scores as a return specialist.
For a freshman.
67 tackles on defense, an interception that he took back for a touchdown, 6 forced fumbles, 3 that he recovered, and a blocked field goal.
What classification is this?
2028.
No. Where is he playing? Is it at Alabama?
I think. Let me remember.
What was this young man playing?
Vardaman, Mississippi. Houston, Mississippi.
Houston, Mississippi.
Vardaman High School.
Vardaman High School. Let's find out. But still, those stats are incredible. Yeah. Vardaman High School. Yeah. You are... Vardaman High School, Mississippi is what? Football. Click on football. We play...
Also,
Vardaman plays in 1A. 1A, still. So, my man.
He's the man.
1A football, you know that. He's going back and forth.
He is the guy on that team in 1A football.
Heck,
you know?
Yeah, we
if
love
If you've
that.
Ever gotten the opportunity to watch high school, 1A high school football.
That's great.
More often than not, it's a lot of times one really, really impressive player who's kind of the do-it-all guy for a team and kind of carries them.
Awesome.
Seems like maybe that's what's happening here. He's also getting some interest from Tennessee. Took an unofficial visit there earlier this month.
Boo.
Yeah. Well, like I said, was in Alabama this week. Got to talk to him a little bit. The other guy I got to speak with, Braden Rouse. This is a 2026 linebacker from Kell High School in Marietta, Georgia. You know, like I said, 2026. So a little bit more concrete, the conversations he's having with the coaching staff, was able to actually tell me a little bit of what excites him most about Kane Womack's defense. He said, quote, "What excites me most about Bama's defense is they don't limit their linebackers to one job of being box, edge, or a cover guy. They give the linebackers a variety of different tools for different positions on the field. You aren't limited to one single thing." And, yeah.
I think we noticed that.
Yeah, I think we definitely noticed that, especially last year with a guy like Jahad Campbell, who, I mean, played every spot he could have from a linebacker role, basically. He was an edge rusher. He was an off-ball linebacker. He was covering guys. He was defending the run. He was doing everything. So, you know, I think that is a large reason why he is probably a first-round draft pick this year. Maybe we will see a similar, similar pathway for Mr. Braden Rouse. In 2024, as a junior last year, 111 total tackles, 3.5 sacks, and an interception. And then on offense, 30 receptions for over 400 yards and 8 touchdowns. So, you know, another guy who plays both ways, I think, is certainly a linebacker prospect. Seems like he's being recruited as a linebacker. Seems like he spent most of his time when he was viewing spring practice this week with the defensive side of the ball. But like I said, you can read about the rest of that on Bama Central, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. I will hopefully have some more kids this week to talk to.
Doing good.
Yeah, we've been getting a few, you know.
It starts that way.
Sure. If you are interested, you know, you can read the Vanderbilt, the Missouri, the Boston College as well. I'm getting a lot of, we're talking to a lot of prospects there as well. If you are ever interested, you can read all throughout the Walsh Writing Network. But yeah, I think Alabama's in a very good spot recruiting wise, especially for the 2026 class. You know, they're getting ready this spring and summer to welcome a lot of very talented prospects. They're gonna bring in a lot of guys for official visits, bring in a lot of guys for unofficial visits, and you know, get guys here also once fall camp starts or summer. Get guys here for summer camps. You know, not necessarily who are on their radar right now, give them the opportunity to maybe put themselves on their radar. I know I've talked to some kids who are going to be doing the summer camp route, you know, and I think as I understand it, that's more of a, you know, oh, they're not really sure what the interest level is, but here's an opportunity for me to kind of display myself and maybe grow that interest level between them and the school. So we will see.
We love camp season.
Yeah. I think Alabama's doing fine. You know, you look at the 2026 class and they're ranked like 38th right now, which is not great. You only have 3 commitments, but just don't, you know, take it easy. Take a deep breath. It's okay. This summer, I think they will have a very, very big summer.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We remember, last year they went down to almost 0 commits at one point. So, and then they built up a top 3 class, top 5 class. Everything's going to be A-OK on the recruiting trail. I really trust this group. You've got a lot of the old group on the, from the recruiting stuff from Saban and mixed it in with all the new group with DeBoer. I think it's going to be just fine recruiting.
Okay, let's see. I think that's most of what I've got for us today. Let's see who all we've got playing today. Softball
taking on a second SEC series, trying to get their first SEC series victory.
Yeah, softball out in College Station is taking on Texas A&M. Looks like they're going to be playing today at 6 p.m. Baseball taking on Tennessee, like we said, at 6 again. We also got women's tennis taking on Tennessee. Didn't know that. That's going to be at 4 if you're interested in that. Oh, man. But the biggest story of the day, obviously, is going to be Alabama-Robert Morris. We will be back next week to discuss that game. Back next week, hopefully, to discuss more Alabama victories than just the one over Robert Morris. But until then, that's all we got for today. I want to thank you all for listening to the All Things Bama podcast. I want to remind you to follow both Joe and myself on Twitter at JoeGaither6, at MAWoods_. Remember to like and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back next week with another action-packed episode of the All Things Bama podcast.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.